The National Rifle Association convention starts today in Houston, about 275 miles from the site of the deadly mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Former President Trump is delivering a keynote address today, and Texas Governor Greg Abbott will send his remarks by video. Let's take a deeper look at the NRA with NPR's Tim Mak, author of Misfire, Inside the Downfall of the NRA. Tim, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me again.
So a lot going on today. Several big-name Republican musicians say they won't go. Don McLean, Larry Gatlin. But this raises some broad questions about the NRA that you have written about in your book. I mean, the title of your book is Downfall because of huge problems on the inside. Power struggles, dubious finances, an inquiry by the New York Attorney General. How strong is the NRA really, internally and externally?
I think without a doubt, the NRA is facing the most serious challenges it's faced in its 150-year history. There have been revolts on the board. There have been all these public airings of evidence about misconduct and mismanagement, tens of millions of dollars spent by top executives at the NRA on things like lavish vacations and private jets and ridiculous meals and sweetheart deals for insiders with contracts in the millions and millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so they're really struggling, financially struggling. Fundraising is down. Their spending is down from its peak. But they retain a lot of power, and they continue to retain a lot of influence among what matters most when it comes to this sort of grassroots politics, and that is the ability to mobilize its millions and millions of members in moments like this.
And in this moment, after this terrible shooting Tuesday, are we seeing it play out, this political currency on the outside the NRA may still have? Are we seeing lawmakers whose NRA rating really matters to them saying things that are aligned with the NRA? Are we seeing its talking points being repeated by candidates and pundits?
Political influence draws politicians, right? And there's no greater example of that than the fact that former President Donald Trump will be addressing in a keynote address today, the NRA's annual meeting. This is really kind of a comeback party for the NRA and their decision to go ahead with the convention, despite the shootings just a few hours away, is a sign of the NRA's kind of calcification of its position.
Can you remind us of its response that so many people considered this tone-deaf response to Sandy Hook and whether that's relevant this week?
Well, you know, after Sandy Hook, Wayne LaPierre disappeared for a period of time and then reemerged to give a speech in which he advocated for more guns in schools. And that was something that upset a lot of people. I wouldn't be surprised if there were similar proposals made this weekend, that schools should be hardened. I mean, this just goes to show the point we've been talking about, which is that the NRA's messaging has become only more certain over time.
And can you remind us what the message of the NRA, the public message of the NRA has been to this shooting in Uvalde? What have they said publicly?
Well, they've condemned the shooting and they said that they would be reflective about it. But as they've often done in the past, they take no responsibility for any part of the gun culture in America or this particular shooting. Many NRA supporters have suggested that it's not guns that lead to this, but instead other things such as, you know, social issues like violent video games or other issues that they identify in American society. The NRA is practiced in its messaging playbook.
We spoke to Rob Pincus from a different gun rights organization, the Second Amendment group, 2AO.org, and he slammed the NRA for feeding this left-right culture war, as he described it, being very unhelpful and actually reducing gun deaths. So I guess the question for you is, are there new voices, important voices, among gun rights supporters that may over time change the conversation, perhaps reduce the volume and the effectiveness of the NRA?
Well, you know, there are quite a number of Second Amendment advocates like Rob Pincus who don't want the NRA to be, like you say, in shambles. And they are critical of the organization while being supportive of the underlying gun policy issue. And what's interesting is that these folks who are demanding additional accountability and transparency in the organization, they represent a relatively small percentage, but a vocal percentage of the NRA's membership. It remains to be seen whether or not folks who are challenging the NRA's leadership will succeed in compelling change inside their organization.
So I'm just trying to understand, how might the conversation change among gun rights supporters if some of these other groups or even people internally at the NRA have more of a voice? Might the rhetoric, might the policy talking points change, evolve? Is that happening? Might that be happening?
I don't think that that's in the cards in the short term. That what we've seen is, rather than a change in tone, a change in messaging, we've seen, like I was saying, a calcification in the tone and messaging. The NRA is digging in. They're getting more used to kind of executing this playbook because of the sad frequency of these types of events, these mass shootings. Mm.
So I guess the question is, the NRA has had so much influence over the decades. It has seeded these talking points, this rhetoric, this point of view that, you know, if it were to disappear, would its influence continue on for a long time?
The question is the NRA powerful, or is the NRA merely a vehicle for something that exists inside American political culture? And I think, you know, even as we've seen the NRA as an organization struggle, the policy on gun legislation, it just hasn't changed. And so you have to conclude that the NRA is merely a vehicle, and that its real power isn't in its money or its organization or its executives, but instead the millions of members that make up its grassroots, who continue to make themselves heard among the politicians that make these decisions.
And so this weekend in Houston, then, what's important to watch?
Well, Donald Trump is always a wild card. Even though he's popular among the NRA base, he's been someone who's in the past advocated for background checks, to the horror of top NRA leadership. So I'll be curious to know whether he's here to deliver some red meat to the grassroots, or whether he's here with a more sober message in the wake of the shootings.
Mm. That's NPR reporter Tim Mak. His recent book, which is a great read, is Misfire: Inside the Downfall of the NRA. Tim, thank you as always.
Thanks so much.